Last night at Christie's, an Andy Warhol portrait of Liz Taylor was on the block. When the gavel went down, the price was $21 million, about $4 million short of the anticipated selling price. Yes, Liz, yes, it's true, but you aren't alone. A Van Gogh didn't even sell at all last week. And after you add in the auction house's commission, that portrait actually went for more than $23 million. Still below the estimate, though. The Warhol, along with a Basquiat, a Rothko, a Koons, all subjects of your modern art history course, are part of a big and busy world of art auction houses this week. We want to talk a little bit more about whether the market is overheated, underheated, whether these auctions are just fantastic theater. Lindsay Pollack is a journalist specializing in the art market. You can read her work on Bloomberg.com and Art News Magazine. And Lindsay, you are a trooper for being here in studio this morning because you were at an auction all last night.
Good morning. I was. It's true. It was long.
Was it fun? Are they fun? Are they interesting? Are they? I mean, as a journalist, I know you have to kind of detach for a little bit, but as a spectator?
You know, I mean, I think they are fun. We journalists get to stand, of course, so that makes it a little less fun than the seated people. But they are continuing to be longer and longer, these auctions. Last night's sale was 67 lots. The night before, I covered an auction at Christie's, 71 lots. Last week, we had a 91-lot auction. You know, back in the day when the art market wasn't so, to your question, overheated, they were no more than 60 lots. I mean, at a certain point, it's like a play. I wish they just like cut off a little bit of that second
half. Right.
But no, they're very good theater. It's entertaining. You get lots of people watching, lots of crazy outfits, you know, and big crazy prices.
You mentioned all these different lots. Just a little bit of research. About 1,800, almost 1,900 art lots will be up for auction during this course of this 9 days from November 6th to November 15th. What is it about this time of year that's special or particularly interesting that it's Artorama?
That's a good term. twice a year, May and November are the big contemporary and impressionist sales. And because the art world is very secretive and one really doesn't know what's selling most of the time behind closed doors on Madison Avenue or in Chelsea, this is the opportunity for the world to see what's the health and the wealth of the art world, because these are public prices. You know, there's theoretical transparency in the auction room. So everybody's looking to see, you know, is the ultimate luxury object selling for more than ever? What's this? How does this relate to the economy? So all eyes right now, they really loaded up. $2 billion was the projection for the 2 weeks, which is really a phenomenal, huge number to put it in perspective. $1 billion alone this week is a high projection. It's
That's
a lot.
Unbelievable. You mentioned that the ultimate high luxury item. Who is buying this stuff? And are they, I mean, we know that, for example, Hugh Grant was the person who was selling this Warhol.
Very
so
wisely.
Are they celebrity buyers? Are they just rich Saudi princes? Who buys this stuff?
You know, I don't think a lot of them are celebrities because there's not a big art market going on in L.A.
Okay.
And when you talk to dealers from L.A., they seem to think that people out there in the West Coast are celebrities. They don't necessarily buy a lot of art. It seems to be really a lot of people from the financial community. I work for Bloomberg News, so I'm aware that there are a lot of people who are on Wall Street, people who are entrepreneurs, a lot of people in real estate. Jerry Speier, I noticed name on this building. He's a big art collector. There are a number of people like that who are in more risk-taking fields who really like to gamble in contemporary art.
Are they gambling, or is it an investment, or is it because they love Jeff Koons?
Love Jeff Koons. You know, I think historically, you know, the art world was driven by collectors who really were people at a stage in their life where they fell in love with a particular aesthetic, a certain group of artists. And it really was, prices weren't at the level they're at today. So it could be really just about sort of some kind of personal connection, loving this, loving meeting the artist, loving having, learning about the art. Today, I do think there is sort of a new breed of collector that's has a more speculative mission, because there's been such a huge exponential increase in the last 5 years. So, you know, it's hard to discern who's buying for speculation and who's buying for love. There were pieces last night that people took hold of in last year and are now selling, like the Jeff Koons gigantic diamond ring.
I love this one because the description of this gigantic ring and Jeff Koons is a man who is waging a one-man war on taste. the description of this piece. I have to read this from the brochure about this piece. This is what an imaginary blue diamond should be. It is an almost comic strip archetype, a stereotype, a cliche that has burst into monumental existence in our world, speaking of wealth and luxury and awe in an open, sincere, and deliberately uncritical manner. Did that help sell that?
You know,
how much did it go for?
Not really. It was estimated, you know, the estimates, some of the estimates they don't publish, so they're a little moving targets. This one was around, I think, 12 to 20 million, which is a huge spread. There was really very little interest in Mr. Kuhn's diamond last night. And in fact, it was bought by Larry Gagosian, who happened to be the dealer who had sold it. And I don't want to necessarily say this is the case. Sold it last year, exactly. Okay. So sometimes dealers, and I'm not saying this was the case this time, particularly perhaps protect their artists by putting in a bid. They don't want their artist's work to
be devalued.
Yes. And tonight we have a huge Kuhn selling at Sotheby's, a giant hanging heart, which is quite spectacular. It's hot pink. It's something that will speak to the new money. You know, I think it will do better than the diamond ring.
Is the market soft for contemporary art right now?
No. I mean, last night really proved that there's an unbridled appetite for the well-known artists. We're talking about a tiny sliver of the contemporary artists out there working who are achieving these prices. Mm-hmm. I mean, Richard Prince last night sold for upwards of $6 million.
Oh,
people thought 2 to 3 was outrageous or a very bold estimate. So people were shocked. I mean, there's a lot of appetite for this.
What about the Mark Rothko? A lot of people are familiar with his work.
People are familiar with it. In the spring, people might recall David Rockefeller sold a Rothko for a then shocking $71 million. Last night, there were about five of them up at Christie's. One of them was the top lot of the night, selling for $34 million. There are lots of these out there, these big, beautiful Rothkos. It's not, you know, something that's extraordinarily rare. So these prices are pretty amazing.
Is there one artist or one particular piece of work which is the one that everybody's waiting to go up for auction in the next week?
I think, people look for sort of bellwether pieces. Mm-hmm. And tonight it'll be the big hanging heart Kuhns people are watching.
Okay,
and also a Francis Bacon painting of a bullfight, which is also among the most expensive pieces. And people look to see how much depth there is in the bidding. Are there people who seem to be bidding from Asia and from Russia and from, you know, all over the world to kind of reflect the buoyant market? Or is it thin?
Let's talk about the Liz. We'll finish up talking about the Warhol Liz paint. It was called the Colored Liz. It's sort of a turquoise. Was this considered to be one of his better paintings or just one of the ones he tossed off?
Well, you know, it depends who you talk to.
For $21 million.
Christie's would tell you it's one of his most important versions of the 13 Liz's.
All right,
that
what was the journalist tell me in the room?
Well, people felt it wasn't one of his most spectacular Liz's. They did.
No!
Sorry, Liz.
Sorry, Liz.
Does anybody ever, actually, in the commercials or in the you know, comedy movies, accidentally buy a $100 million piece of art? Has that ever happened?
You know, if they do, the auction houses are so smooth, they would cover it up.
Oh.
Because I'm sure there are people who bid and can't pay their bills. Because sometimes I see something that's sold and then weeks later I'm at the house and the painting is still on the wall and I think, what's going on?
Lindsay Pollack is a journalist specializing in the art market. You can read her work on Bloomberg.com and Art News Magazine. Again, a trooper. Thank you so much for coming into the studio after what was a late but exciting night.
We did let you sit down, though, for the interview.
Thank you.
Nice.
You know, I almost actually at an auction once at a barn almost ended up buying this really hideously ugly yellow velvet couch because the fellow I was with at the time did one of those, I'm just going to move my hand and see if they think it's a bid. And they did.
Wow.
$50. I told them, buddy,
I can't go
that couch comes
places.
Home.
I have I have an involuntary physical tic in those situations. If I start thinking about not
You're
scratching my
it?
Nose, I'll totally do it. So. And speaking of people who would not be able to foot the bill, I would not. Benazir Bhutto, former Prime Minister of Pakistan, she's been getting a lot of attention because of what the current President of Pakistan, Musharraf, has been doing. So if he's the bad guy, in quotes, is she the good guy? Or good lady? I don't know. We're going to find out a little bit more about Benazir Bhutto coming up.
Also, another edition of the Bryant Park Project feature, Make Me Care. Okay, several new species of whales have been discovered recently, but apparently nobody cares that much to report about it. We're going to talk to an expert in the field who tells us why we should give a dang. It's coming up.